If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's only 16 verses. I'll just read them all. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom and in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him, for they are spirit foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I probably won't be able to cover the whole chapter, but I want to start, and I'm not saying this scripture is out of order. I'm not saying that at all, but I just want to start with the 14th verse. Some things I want to bring out, if I have time to bring them out, and one is about the natural man, a person that's not a child of God. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Then how that man is born again of God's Spirit, and then how that he comes into knowledge of these things, and then about wisdom. The 14th verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. We are natural in our flesh. We are spiritual. If we've been born again of God's Spirit, we are spiritual and natural. Our outward man is natural. Our inward man is spiritual. Been born again of God's Spirit. But the natural man here is talking about a man that's totally natural. Before a person's born again, he is totally natural. When he's born again, like I said, he's spiritual and natural. When you get to heaven, you're going to be all spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, meaning a person is unregenerate. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The word receive here means to reach out and get. Reach out and take. And the natural man don't reach out and take. All of my life, I always thought there was just one type of receiving taught in the Bible. But did you know there's another type of receiving taught in the Bible? If I give you a Coca-Cola, you got to reach out and get it. If I give you a Pepsi, you got to reach out and get it. If I give you a candy bar, you got to reach out and get it. If I give you a bag of potato chips, you got to reach out and get it. But life don't come that way. Life don't come by reaching out and getting it. I want you to notice two receivings here in this scripture. One is this 14th verse, but the natural man receiveth not the sayings of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto them. But look up in the 12th verse. Now we have received not the Spirit of the Word. Now the word received there don't mean the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What have you that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you glory or boast as if you received it not? If I've got to reach out and give something, I can boast in that. But here is receiving, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that you can't boast in. Who maketh thee to differ from another? God. What have you that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you glory or boast as if you received it not? Did you know everybody receives salvation the same way? And I'm not talking about reaching out and getting it. Sometimes the word receive means to come in possession of. Like Adam, when God created Adam out of the dust of the earth. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, did Adam reach out and get life? Did he move his arms in order for life to come in him? Did he move his feet? Adam did not reach out and get it. There was a boy one time, I worked at Dealer Supply Company, and it was an air conditioning company. It was a warehouse, and they sold wholesale products. This boy worked there with me, and of course he was of another order, and I asked him, I said, doesn't the Bible say that salvation is a free gift? He said, yeah, but you got to reach out and get it. Well, he had an ink pen in his pocket, and I just took the ink pen out of his pocket, and I said, this is life, and you're dead. And I put the pen back in his pocket. I said, now you receive life. What did you do to receive it? There's another type of receiving taught in the Bible. And it means come in possession of. That don't mean to reach out and get it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That means he don't reach out and get it. The natural man cannot become a child of God by reaching out and getting spiritual things. The Spirit of God has to come first. He receives the Spirit of God, but he comes in possession of it. What about Lazarus when he's dead in the grave? Jesus cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus received life. Did he reach out and get it? He received it, but he didn't reach out and get it. Life does not come by reaching out and getting it. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. A man was with his little boy, and they were looking out the window. And the man told the little boy, said, look out there, son. The trees is moving back and forth and causing the wind to blow. And the little boy said, now, Daddy, you know that's silly. You know the wind is blowing and causing the trees to move back and forth. And three things that we can glean from that scripture. The same way that the wind has to blow and cause the trees to move, the same thing about life. God is using the wind here as a picture of the new birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Everyone is born of the Spirit the same way. John the Baptist was born again in his mother's womb. So I know now that the new birth don't mean born the second time. It means to be born from above. I'm not saying everyone is born again in their mother's womb. But I am saying that same sovereign way that John the Baptist was born again by the Spirit, the immediate regeneration of the Spirit of God, is the same way everybody is born again. Everyone is born again the same way. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The trees moving back and forth is the evidence and not the cause. Unless the wind blows, the tree's not going to move. Same thing with a natural man. Life always precedes action. Man has to have natural life before he can move his arm. I was talking about a while ago. You remember Adam didn't move his arms back and forth and cause life to come in him? He didn't move his legs back and forth for life to come in him? He didn't start speaking and life came in him. But life had to precede action. That's the second thing that you can glean from this scripture. First one is the trees don't move back and forth and cause the wind to blow. But the wind has to blow and then the trees move. And same thing as natural life. Natural life has to come in a man and then he moves his arms. And the same thing spiritually. If a person's not born again, first, he's not going to have any faith. He's not going to have any repentance. He's not going to have any prayer unto God. Those are fruit of the Spirit, not the cause. They're not the root of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against this there's no law. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit and not the root of the Spirit. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. If they're foolishness unto him, you're not going to cause or catch his ear by saying anything spiritual unto him because he's not going to understand it. They're foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them that are saved is the power of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Did you see that word can there? When you was a little kid, did you ever ask your teacher, can I go to the bathroom? What did she tell you? I don't know if you're able or not. The word can denotes ability. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He don't have the ability to know them. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father sent me draw him and I'll raise him up the last day. You know how come man cannot come to God? Because he's dead. He has not the ability to come to God. No man can come to me except the Father sent me draw him. Neither does the natural man understand the things of the Spirit. He cannot know them. You cannot preach the gospel unto a person that's dead in sin and him understand. There's none to understand. There's none to understand the spiritual things. Well, how is a man born again? Let's go back and catch another verse in this chapter. But as it is written, I hath not seen. Now we're still talking about the natural man here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But as it is written, I hath not seen. The natural eye haven't seen those things of the Spirit of God. Nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The natural eye hadn't seen it. The natural ear hadn't heard it. It hadn't entered into the heart of man. It cannot enter. Why? Because the unregenerate man, the natural man, has a heart of stone. God has to change the heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh in order for a man to understand. In order for him to receive spiritual things, his heart has to be changed. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How do we understand these things? God reveals them to us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God reveals them to us. Did you know God, by his Spirit, reveals things to our heart before our mind comprehends? Sometimes we talk about being born of the Spirit of God and all these effects of the Spirit of God. Somebody says, yeah, but you can feel the Spirit, but how long does it take your mind to pick it up that you felt it? It's still an evidence, isn't it? I don't know what a millisecond is. They use those terms in computers and stuff like that. That's real fast, isn't it? A millisecond. I don't know how long it takes your mind to pick up that you failed anything. But it's still going to be the evidence, isn't it? God borns you again by His Spirit. And when you feel it, you're already alive when you feel it. I'm talking about spiritually alive. But God has revealed them unto us by Spirit. What does the word reveal mean? It means to bring to life, to bring to understanding. You remember the coyote and the roadrunner? The light bulb come on for the coyote to understand? Sometimes people think understanding determines reality. Does perception determine reality? Sometimes people think that you got to understand something before it comes true. There again, the coyote and the roadrunner. You remember the roadrunner runs around the curve? He's outrunning the coyote. He goes around the curve and then the coyote goes off the cliff, but he don't fall until he perceives it. Sometimes people's religion is that way. It's not really true until I perceive it. Christ died on the cross for your sins, but until you understand it, you're not really a child of God. People's got it all backwards, don't they? What does the word reveal mean? To bring to light. To bring to understanding. One of the definitions to reveal is take the cover off. You ever remember in school the teacher had a shoe box? She had a lid on the shoe box. She takes the lid off the shoe box and you see something there. She puts the lid right back on there. But you see something in that shoe box. She took the cover off and you see something. It's not all hid from you now. You saw something in that shoebox when you took the lid off. Something was revealed to you. Another definition to the word reveal is the word discover. To take the cover off. Did you know Columbus discovered America? He discovered America. He took the cover off. The word reveal means to take the cover off. Have you ever been listening to a preacher and you saw something that you hadn't never saw? The preacher don't take the cover off of eternal life. But the preacher tells you what eternal life is. The preacher tells you how that you have eternal life. The gospel does not bring life, but it brings life and immortality to life. It brings to understanding. There is a revelation in the gospel. Three types of revelation. One is a direct revelation. The apostles had a direct revelation from God. They wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He was called up to the third heaven. And there was things revealed to him that wasn't lawful to be uttered. A direct revelation the apostles have. There's a revelation in a new birth. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And there's also a revelation in the gospel. Paul says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel yet be at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. When a man is born again of God's Spirit, God plants faith in his heart. Well, here comes a gospel preacher now, and he preaches that faith that was once delivered unto the saints, and that faith is unto that faith that's in your heart that's been born again of God's Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God reveals to our heart things before it's ever revealed to our mind. Before I came to the Old Baptist, God's Spirit had already taught my heart. In my heart, I believe salvation by grace, but my mind didn't believe that. There's a lot of children of God in this world today, and they're going to heaven when life is over. Their heart understands. They know in their heart what the truth is, but their mind's been messed up by the gods of this world. Thank God for the old Baptist preacher that gets up and preaches, and he preaches the same thing that God has already taught the heart. God reveals things to us by Spirit. How does salvation work? I'm talking about eternal. Does it work from the outside in or from the inside out? How does salvation work? I'm talking about eternal now. I'm talking about regeneration. As salvation eternally, that's applied to a man's soul. Does regeneration, does it work from the outside in or from the inside out? The master man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. He can't reach out and get them. The world's teaching is that you got to understand the gospel. And when you understand the gospel, and God's Spirit is mixed with that, and when you understand the gospel, then it enters your heart. And His Spirit deals with you, and their draw is different from our draw. They believe the word draw means to entice or attract. And when His Spirit is in your heart, then it's up to you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ or believe in Him. And then because you believe in Him, then you're saved by, they call it grace. You know something I had never understood? Since I came to the old Baptist. And see, I used to be of another order, so I know how they think. I know what they mean when they say no man can come unto me except the Father sent me, draw him. And they believe it means to attract or entice. You know, flies are drawn to a roadkill. That's a bad example, isn't it? But you understand what the word draw means? When I met my wife, I was drawn to her. I was attracted to her. I was enticed to her. Sometimes the word draw means that. In the book of James, the Bible says that we sin when we're drawn away of our own lust. You remember that? That means to attract. When John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father send me draw him, that means to drag them. If salvation went all of God, if God didn't regenerate us by Himself and totally by Himself, there would be no children of God. If man was not drugged to God, nobody would be a child of God. Nobody would ever be attracted. There's no beauty in Christ that we would desire Him. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Something I ain't never been understood since I came to the old Baptist. You know, the Bible says, he that hath not the Spirit is not one of his. 8th chapter of Romans. So in contrast, he that hath the Spirit is one of his. What does people believe? Does people believe that God, when He's going to save a person, He puts His Spirit into a person's heart and teaches him what he's got to do in order to be a child of God? And if he don't do it, he takes his spirit back out of his heart, and then he dies and goes to hell. Is that the way it is? He that hath the Spirit is one of his. If a person has the Spirit of God in his heart teaching him, he's already a child of God eternally. He's already a child of God. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. The Spirit has to be in our heart of teaching these things, or we don't know them. I want us to look at the next verse now. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. I was talking to Brother Claybolt today about fishing this morning. I was talking about raising my children in the creek and fishing. And we was talking about hunting. You know the reason I know the things that he likes? Because I have the spirit of man in me. I don't have the spirit of woman in me. I don't understand things about a woman. We're not the same, are we? That's the reason we're attracted, because we're opposite. I don't understand things about ladies. I don't understand. I don't know if I'll ever understand or not, because I don't have the spirit of woman in me. I don't know what it's like to like makeup and lipstick and fingernail polish and go shopping and all that and stay all day. I don't understand these things. Why? Because I don't have the spirit of woman in me. I have the spirit of man in me. Therefore, I like fishing, hunting. I like golf and sports and football and all these things. Because I have the spirit of man in me. But listen, if you don't have the spirit of man in you first, you're not going to understand the things of a man. You've got to have the spirit of man in you first before you can understand things of another man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God. That means unless you have the Spirit of God in you first, you're not going to know anything about God. Unless God's Spirit comes in your heart first and teaches you, you're not going to know anything about God. You're not going to receive the gospel. You're not going to listen to the gospel preacher because it has nothing to do with you. If you're not regenerated, if you're not born again, the gospel is not going to mean anything to you. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them that are saved is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Spirit of God has to be there first, or we have no understanding. We cannot comprehend things of God unless the Spirit of God is there first. For what man knoweth the things of a man? They ain't none. There's not a man up on earth that know anything about another man and what he likes unless he had the spirit of man already in him. Even so. Did you hear that? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That means unless the Spirit of God is there first, then you're not going to understand anything about God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? So that we might know. Did you hear that word, know? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What are the things that are free? There's a lot of things that's freely given to us of God. Eternal life is a free gift, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. Jesus is a free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. Every good and every perfect gift come down from above from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift, where did it come from? Down from above. The new birth, it's a gift. You know where it's from? It's from above. Every good and every perfect gift coming down from above from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No changing with God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You remember us talking a while ago? That word received, I don't mean to reach out and get. You come in possession of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not come in your heart because you believe. It does not come in your heart because you accept. It does not come in your heart because mama prayed for you. You come in possession of the Spirit of God. Because you're one of God. Because you was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You was predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And you were effectually called by His Spirit. That's how the Spirit of God came into you. You came in possession of it. And you came in possession of it because God elected you before the foundation of the world. And in His time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. We receive the Spirit of God. God sent His Spirit into our heart. He sent His Spirit into our heart because we are sons. We are sons by election. We are sons by predestination. God sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Why did He send His Spirit into our hearts? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know what the world teaches? You've got to see those things freely given to you of God before that His Spirit comes into your heart. It's funny, isn't it? It's funny how that is completely opposite the way the Bible teaches. You got to do all these things for the Spirit to come into your heart. And the Bible's teaching all the time, unless the Spirit of God is in your heart, you're not going to have none of these things. Let's go back to the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He that spared not His own Son. Who was it that spared not His own Son? God spared not His own Son. Did you find? Who did He spare? God didn't spare His Son. Who did He spare? Me? You? God spared us. What about God not sparing His own Son? But He spared us, didn't He? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him, with Christ, freely give us all things? The world says He can't do it. He can't give it to you freely. God says, how come I can't do it? How shall He not with Him? You know, the devil, he likes to make knot holes in the Bible. Do you ever notice that? Every time the Bible says not, he wants to take something and poke that knot out. Like, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that knot of yourself, he wants to make a knot hole right on it. He that spared not His own Son, he wants to say He spared His Son, don't he? He wants to make knot holes in the Bible. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? How shall He not do it? The world says He can't do it. And God says, how shall He not do it? How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Now the word freely means without cost. Don't cost anything. God told Adam and Eve when they was in the garden, of every tree that's in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Freely eat. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. Thou mayest freely eat. It ain't going to cost nothing. Adam and Eve could eat of the garden. And they could freely eat. Wouldn't go cost nothing. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, the Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. It doesn't cost nothing. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him
freely give us all things. Another definition of the word freely is without cause. Without cause. Did you know the Bible talks about when they crucified Jesus, they hated him without a cause? They hated Christ without a cause. There was nothing in Christ that would cause them to hate him. They hated him without a cause. They freely hated Jesus. Now look at that verse, being justified freely by His grace. It's not only without cost, it's without cause. Did you know God justified you freely by His grace? Without cause? There was no cause in you that would make Him forgive you. There was no cause in you or in me that would make Him justify us freely. No cause. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely, without cause, give us all things? Did you see that word freely here? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, that we might know them. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Let me read it again. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give Him to us? He didn't spare His own Son. He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? That's talking about giving them to us. But listen to this verse now. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might... No. That we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Because of what Jesus done, He freely gave them to us. But now we have received the Spirit that we might know that they're freely given to us of God. Without God's Spirit, we would not know that they're freely given to us. They're given to us without cause. Without cost. Sometimes I wonder about people. They have the Spirit of God in their heart, but they have no desire for spiritual things. Seems. I don't understand that. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they might grow thereby. How come sometimes it seems like people have no spiritual desire? Their mind stays on natural things all week long. God has put His Spirit in our heart that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. And we look at those things not seen. You know how you can look at things not seen more? By reading this here. God, when we were born again of God's Spirit, and faith is the fruit of the Spirit, and faith is what the soul sees with. You know what our body sees with the eye? What's the soul see with? Faith. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed, not with this Bible, but Jesus, the living Word. Through faith we understand that. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a much more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not on things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. How can you look at something that you can't see? How would you like to tell that to an atheist? I'm looking at things not seen. Was you there when God created heaven and earth? I wasn't there. Was you there? How do you know He did it? Because the Bible says so. Well, the Bible, what does that mean to an atheist? Nothing. Through faith we understand these things. God born us again by His Spirit. And because we have His Spirit, then we have that eye of faith in our soul. Something to see with. And God has provided all these spiritual things that we come to church every Sunday. And we listen to these things. We listen to these spiritual things. And the reason we listen to them, so that our soul might be fed. That we might understand, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, give us a desire down in our soul for these things. Which is more important? Natural things of life? Or the things that's not seen? Now I want to go back to the first verse. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, And I, brethren, when I came to you." That's when Paul first came to the church of God at Corinth. You read in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts when he first came to Corinth. The Spirit of the Lord appeared to Paul in a vision. He said unto him, "Fear not. And hold not thy peace. Be not afraid. But speak thou, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Corinth. That's when he first came to Corinth. When he first preached the gospel. Now Paul didn't go down there and preach the gospel trying to make them children of God. God had already told him, said, "Paul, I have much people in this city. They're already children of God." And here Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, when I first come to you." I want you to notice this third chapter, what they start off with. "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." When he came to them. "And I, brethren, when I came to you." How did he preach? How did he preach when he first came to them? "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." That testimony of God was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom." And he's talking about no kind of wisdom. You know, sometimes people have a hard time of separating manly wisdom from God's wisdom. People have a hard time separating man's wisdom from God's wisdom. Does God have wisdom? Does God teach us wisdom? How does God teach us wisdom? God put His Spirit in our heart. We have faith, we have understanding. And we pray and we ask God, "Help us understand this." You know what the Bible says in the book of James? "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." That means He don't scold us. We can call on God and ask Him for wisdom. And Paul, when he came to these people here, he came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom. Either man's wisdom or God's wisdom. We'll find out why. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I determined not. Now sometimes people think this is all you're supposed to preach. Just Jesus Christ. That's good. Jesus Christ, I love to preach about Jesus Christ and crucified. But there's a lot of things that you can preach Jesus Christ and you preach Jesus Christ, and some things you'll never learn unless you teach on other things. How can I learn about discipline if I think about Jesus Christ all the time? How can I know about discipline How can I know about the order of the church? How the church is supposed to be carried on? How can I know about all about baptism? Well, how can I know about resurrection if I just preach Christ and Him crucified? That's part of it too. But Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, declaring unto you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Did you hear that? That your faith. If they weren't already children of God, how could Paul say that? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. In other words, Paul didn't want them looking at him like he was some kind of bright intellectual. Like he was some real smart person. He was smart. He was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. I mean, he knew the law like the back of his hand. Did you know there's a lot of preachers that they want to show how smart they are, how good a preacher they are? But thank God for those that are wise that don't use that in the pulpit. We don't need to use the wisdom of this world. This Bible here has enough wisdom in it. It's got words in it I have to look up. And sometimes when I look the word up, I have to look up the definition to the definition. You ever do that? You ever look up a word and it tells you the definition, and you got to look up the definition to understand it? Because I'm just a country boy myself. I need understanding from God. And Paul preached this way that their faith... That's another proof that they were children of God when He came to them. That their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice the next verse. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Howbeit, nevertheless, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now we know that's not talking about sinless perfection, is it? I'll just go to the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews and I'll tell you what I think that word perfect means. 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Fifth chapter, book of Hebrews, 12th verse. For when the time come, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That's what the word perfect means. It means of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what the word perfect, it don't mean sinless perfection. It means a full age. When a person is mature. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them. Can you see in these verses how Paul, he preached a little stronger to them than he did when he first came to them? When he come to them, I came not with excellent speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't preach with no kind of wisdom. I'm talking about to grow in grace. He wanted their faith to stand in the wisdom, in the power of God and not the wisdom of man. But now he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, But he speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath before ordained the world unto our glory. He still didn't speak wisdom of men to them, but he spoke the wisdom of God. And sometimes people cannot separate the wisdom of man from the wisdom of God. They want to tie both of them as the same. Sometimes God's Spirit don't bless in the same way. You ever noticed that? Sometimes God's Spirit blesses, and I mean you can feel it. And that's in the Bible. Acts chapter 17, that we might happily feel after Him. It's there. I believe in the manifest presence of God. I believe it. I don't want nobody ever to think I don't believe in the manifest presence of God. But that's not the only way the Spirit blesses. I was talking to a man one time about preaching, and I said, this preacher, he gets up and preaches, and God blesses him, and you feel the presence of God. Sometimes people shout. But what about that preacher when he's at home and he's a study, and God was opening and revealing things unto him? He might have not have shouted, but was that the devil showing him these things? No. That was the Spirit of God. See, we have spiritual senses, and strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who had, by reason of youth, had their senses exercised thereby. Those five natural senses, what are they? Seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting. Did you know the Bible mentions all those? Feeling is the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. What about the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew? Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Sometimes God blesses things to our eyes that we can see. He's not talking about the natural eye. He's talking about the eye of the soul by faith. It's talking about the spiritual ear that you hear with. And what about tasting? You remember in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 6, if you've tasted the good word of God. Have you ever heard somebody say after a preacher, say, that didn't taste right, and I spit it back out. You know what they were referring to? It wasn't naturally, was it? And what about smelling? What about that good smelling savor that goes up to God? Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. In the next verse when he said, and I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. When Paul came and preached to them, when he first came to them, he could not speak unto them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes. Sometimes people want to join the church and they want to stay a babe all their life, though, don't they? They want to stay on milk all the time. Did Paul speak wisdom? I'm talking about the wisdom of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Did he speak wisdom to them that were babes? No, he couldn't. He spoke unto them as unto carnal. You know why he spoke to these Corinth as unto carnal? Some says, I'm of Apollos. Some says, I'm of Paul. Some says, I'm of Cephas. And Paul says, was Paul crucified for you? These people had preacher religion and they were still carnal. He said, I still can't speak unto you spiritual things because you're still carnal. That's what he told these Corinthians. But he speaks wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, the prince of this world that come to naught. But he speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained the world unto our glory. What is a spiritual person? I'm not going to be able to cover it all. What is a spiritual person? Did you know the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God? It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be the carnal mind. But what's a spiritual mind? What is a spiritual person? Is it somebody that weeps a lot? Is that a spiritual person? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with weeping and crying. That's good. But does that mean a spiritual person? What does it mean to be a spiritual person? That's somebody that's had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's somebody that's had their eyes in the Word of God. I love my mom to death. I asked her, I said, how much did you read the Bible last week? I didn't read it. Sometimes people want to blame the preacher, say, you know, the preacher don't preach like he used to. I don't get nothing out of the service anymore. How much do you read the Bible? Sonny Powell said one time he preached on a subject, and people says, well, the Spirit of God wasn't there. He says, if you don't read the Bible, even the Spirit of God is there. You're still not going to feel it. You know why? Because you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what the duty of every church member is? To read the Word of God. To pray for the service on Sunday morning. To read the Word of God. Why? So we can understand what the preacher... You ever been studying, reading the Scripture, and you read it over and over and over, and the preacher gets up and preaches on that same thing that you've been reading all week? God is in arrangements. And God just opened up things. We was talking about the manifest presence. I was talking about the manifest presence of God a while ago. You remember in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, when after Jesus' resurrection, there were two men that was walking down the road to Emmaus, and Christ there, he was there with them. And did you know their eyes were holding that they didn't know who he was? They did not know who Christ was because their eyes were holding of him. And they was used to all the time, you know, while Jesus was here with them, they used to hold him. They're used to hugging him. But see, they don't have that anymore. And here they are walking along with Jesus and don't even know who he is. He's present, but he's not manifest present. And Jesus says, what kind of conversations are these? And they said, are you a stranger in Israel? Haven't you heard that Jesus Christ is a prophet, mighty in word and deed? And we trusted that he's one to redeem Israel, and said, this is the third day. You know what they were saying? This is the third day. He's supposed to rise on the third day. And here Jesus is walking along with them, and they don't know who he is. Their eyes are holding. And you know what he said to them? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that Moses and the prophets did write concerning Christ. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? You know what he's scolding them? You know what he's scolding them for? For not believing the word of God. And they keep on going, they get down there to Emmaus, and they realize who Christ is, and he vanishes out of their sight. And you know what they said? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the Scripture to us? If your heart burns, is that not feeling? And their heart burned because he opened the Scripture to them. If you read the Bible and you study the Bible and you read and read and read, and the preacher gets up and preaches on Sunday morning, and your heart burns within you because God opens the Scripture to you and you understand what the preacher said and you rejoice in what he says.
Sometimes I get the heartburn, it hurts. I have to take a Rolaid or a Zantac or something like that. But this is a good heartburn. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scripture to us? God opened the scripture to them. What about, he wasn't manifest present, but he was present there. He was revealing things to them. They were using their other senses besides feeling, weren't they? They were using their spiritual eyes. They were using their spiritual ears. Wow, God. And you know what? Even him opening the scriptures made their heart burn within them. What is a spiritual person? God has born us again. He's given us faith. He gives us the faith eye to see with. And we read the word of God. He reveals things to us. We understand. Those things, God has already revealed them to our heart. But see, our mind is not connected with our heart. The more we read the Bible, the more we understand what our heart already understands. More our mind understands what our heart is already understanding. Yeah, salvation works from the inside out. Maybe I didn't answer that question a while ago. It don't work from the outside in. God puts his spirit in your heart and then you understand. It works from the inside out. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, for it's God that worketh in you. If we don't work out what God works in us, how's people going to know we're a child of God? I hope I said something other to comfort you and build you up and help you to understand these things. Without God helping me to understand, I wouldn't understand anything spiritually at all. Wouldn't for God's regeneration, I couldn't be saved in a timely sense. I couldn't be saved in a gospel sense unless God had saved me eternally first. That has to come first. God has to come first, don't he? May God bless you.